This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Flores
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are.
Hey, welcome to another episode of This Life Podcast.
Here we are. Here we are.
Here we are.
I'm here in the studio now, not on the 210 freeway.
Remind people about our friends are supporting us now, the Bergamet Mega Plus. These guys have this polyphenol product from a fruit that helps lower cholesterol, and I'm enthusiastic.
Oh, my God.
It's got essentially the same thing as a statin, a low dose, like red yeast rice. These other things have been available, but this is a new product that... People are statin intolerant, people that have fatty liver, people that have metabolic syndrome. This might be
what about people with hepatitis C? Could it help them?
I thought about you today and I thought, probably not. Probably not.
Oh, shit, I'm going to die.
No, I started thinking more about why your hepatitis C hasn't been completely treated, but be that as it may. If you discuss this with your physician, if there's any question at all, if you're already on a statin, you don't need this, but do discuss it with your doctor. Also, Heal app, physician in your house within 2 hours, $99. Insurance covers it, most insurances cover it. And these are carefully selected board-certified physicians that will show up in your house. And people don't understand. All you need is a doctor's sort of evaluation and judgment. You don't need the structure of an ER unless you have a real emergency. You don't need to wait around urgent care. Just use the app. It's $99.
You know, when you were telling me about it, you know, a lot of my clients want to know if a doctor will come and treat them for opioid withdrawal.
That's an interesting question. They don't really have the mental health piece fully covered yet. They're planning to. I don't think that would... I wouldn't advise them to get into that. You know what I'm saying? That would not... If you had a crisis in the middle of...
You don't want to torture the doctors
with
that.
I just don't think it would be effective for the patients. If you're in the middle of an opiate withdrawal and you needed somebody to look at you because there's a problem, that would make sense.
Yeah.
But not to manage opiate withdrawal. Hey, guess who we have here today?
I'm trying to guess.
Heather McDonald. Hey there. Hey,
I'm trying to guess. Thanks for knowing
because,
who I am.
No, but I mean, I was wondering why...
You're like,
you're here because you were talking about somebody who drinks one glass of wine and gets drunk. Before we went to air.
Oh.
Is it about a family member that you're here? Or just in general?
No, I'm
here
a happening
a
person
okay.
myself.
Okay,
she's got
I know.
A crazy, she got a,
I'm like a famous person that you don't know who it, I she, am.
He knows who you are.
Yes,
no, he doesn't.
Yes.
Okay, who am I?
I don't know.
He doesn't know.
It's Heather McDonald.
It's okay.
Heather's a comedian.
I know.
She's got a great podcast.
The ego boost
she was on,
I need.
She was on Chelsea, and she's a friend of ours. And
you're
she,
on with that guy I know from AA. That's where I know you from, on Chelsea's show.
And she's from Juicy Scoop. What guy from
Juicy,
AA?
There's a sober comedian guy that's on there all the time. I forget.
Well, our show's
name.
Been off for a year and a half, almost two. But
has
I'm trying to think
now.
Who is sober that
was
ever
sober
on our
guy.
Show.
He's on there every time on the three people panel thing.
Sober guy every
I don't
time.
Know. I don't remember any people that were
yeah.
Chewy. Chewy's sober.
Chewy's sober. Yeah, little.
Is he the little guy?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh,
he loved
God.
Cocaine. That was his favorite.
No, there was a guy. He's like a hipster East Sider guy.
East Side of what?
I don't know.
East Side of Hollywood, L.A. Silver
well,
Lake.
Well, if
Echo
it's
Park.
AA, maybe you're not supposed to be telling right,
I was
who it
say,
is.
He might not know.
Wasn't supposed to be anonymous.
Yeah, they didn't know. But anyway, so Heather, tell us about your podcast. Juicy Scoop.
So I've been doing a podcast. It's almost a year. It's called Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald. And I came up with a name because I was always like, oh, give me some Juicy Scoop. Or do you have some Juicy Scoop? Whether it's like about someone's relationship or in Hollywood or whatever. And it's actually been amazing. Like, it's been the best thing I've ever done.
Ever done? Wow.
I think so.
What's
because
the juiciest
so
scoop? What's
well,
the
no, no.
juiciest
hold on,
scoop?
Hold on. Because people are so engaged with you?
Yes, because yeah. I was, first of all, I didn't think anyone would really listen, or I didn't understand how people would find it. So then when I started to get this like amazing feedback and be aware of the numbers, and and just, you know, it's just like so flattering that people are like that addicted to it, that they like live, it comes out Thursdays, they live for Thursdays.
It's, and it's a very personal relationship with podcasts.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was reading the reviews and I just said, Peter, when I die, just like go to this page and just read these. Cause like, I mean, I'm in love with myself. I can't even get, I'm like, this is amazing. No, but what's really cool is when people are like, oh my God, you know, I feel like you're my best friend, or I work out longer because your podcast is an hour and 20 minutes and I listen to the whole thing. And I've good guests. And then, but then what we were talking about when we first stepped in is I started to share this story like a few months ago about my sister, which I'd shared with you. And
she shared it over dinner after I picked my jaw up, and then I had to have a follow-up dinner, remember? We had to do it again to get the rest of the story and the follow-up.
And there were even sometimes I called you to ask you when then we were in the midst of the drama. But I have this sister, and it really is like a really traumatic situation, which I'll give like the Cliff Note version of. But it's one of the stories I just had never shared. I didn't find the humor in it, so it wasn't part of my stand-up. I didn't put it in my books. And what happened was I had someone cancel that morning, and I'd been thinking about it, and I was like, you know, it's such a long story to tell. I think I'm going to start telling it, because I'd hinted at it a little bit. You know, I'd say like little things like, oh, and like when your sister calls you a cunt on your wedding day, blah, blah, blah. And then
like everyone.
And then people would be like, wait a minute, like, what is that about? And they'd kind of like, you know, and so finally I was like, I'm going to tell you about the woman who called me a cunt on my wedding day, but it's about a 3-hour story. So I'm going to do it in little segments on the show. And it was really kind of genius, if I might say, because it got people, you know, really vested in it. And
it is a 3-hour story.
It is.
It took her 3 hours to tell me. I think maybe 4 hours.
I mean, it's really long because it really goes back when it's a sister and how much it changed and our relationship, you know. But even though it had signs of jealousy when I was really little, I mean, there was, you know, there was a 10-speed involved and some roller skates that fucking really pissed her off. But like then when you get to a point where one person is like on TV and happy and the other one is not, it's also very terrible.
Well, then it affects the mother and the other sister gets dragged in and oh boy.
Yeah. And then it all, but it did, like, it, you know, it's just, yeah. So you kind of, I mean, I don't know how much
hear,
I could, you, I mean, it's like, you're not going to tell the whole thing. Yeah.
So well,
you
want to
hear it.
Go back 16 episodes.
It starts on episode 35.
35. Okay.
And
this is Juicy Scoop.
What's really cool
podcast
is a few weeks ago, Rosie O'Donnell tweeted me, someone told her about it. And then she went and was like binge listening to all of it. And it's always at the top of the show too. So, you know, I'd love for you to listen to whole episodes, but if you just want to go back and listen to that. But it's a lot of it is the Irish Catholic family guilt, where there really is like the prodigal son or sister that keeps fucking up and treating people poorly in the family, and it's like adult sibling abuse. I don't really know if that's been something that's even really been explored in your
it's
field
a golden
or anybody else.
Spot, I can tell you that was my spot. It's a great spot.
You were the abuser?
No, I was. I was.
You were
the
prodigal son.
The victim.
Up and oh,
the
fuck
yeah, but
and always be oh, Bobby.
Yeah.
That's a good spot. Your sister's in that spot?
My sister, I have two, really. I have a brother, too.
Well, one is the self-savior, perfectionistic, blah, 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 right? The other one? Isn't she the savior, the middle one?
There's five of us.
Oh,
okay,
my
God, so my one sister is totally normal. She's a defense attorney. She's, you know, always would say, I'm Switzerland.
But she's actually the savior. She saves.
Yes.
She swoops in and saves in the last month.
Yes. Well, she literally became a defense attorney because there's so many fuck ups in my family.
Wow.
It just worked out well for everybody with the pro bono work. Poor thing. But she's really, really sweet and nice and fun. We're like best friends. Then the sister. So I'm the youngest. Then the attorney's number four. Number three is my crazy sister, Katrina. Katrina is the name that I gave her. Just to whatever. I don't know if there's what there it is. I think in podcasting there's really no laws, but whatever. So Katrina, and then
what's the defense attorney say?
I don't know. Yeah. She didn't like that I was doing it, but she said it's
because
your story
she's busy
to tell.
Saving everybody, she doesn't want to stir it up.
She found out I was talking about it. We went to Palm Springs, and she was listening to the podcast, really loving it.
A lot of the shit goes down in Palm Springs, doesn't it? Seems like
well, that's where she lives. So we were I was doing an event, and she came and spent the
Where'd
night at
the hotel.
Where'd you
grow up?
Woodland Hills.
Okay.
But anyway, so we were, and I said, you know, after some drinks, I said, I'm not an alcoholic, by the way. And I said, do you know about that I'm talking about Katrina on the show. She's like, yes, my friends have told me, I heard. And she's just like, I don't, you know, I just don't want to hear it because she lived it. And I go, well, you don't have to hear it.
Yeah, that's a defense attorney sister said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I'll yeah. just, I'll,
yeah,
I'm
that
like,
makes sense. She's
don't
the protector.
Listen. Yeah. yeah, don't listen yeah. to
she
it.
She had and, to and, say a critical yeah. thing.
Right. So I said, don't listen to it. And then when it's over and, you know, I'm doing other things, you can then listen to it. And, but like, you know, all her friends love it and, you know, I can't believe it. And what's been really cool in sharing the story is I get these emails and letters and tweets and whatever, not letters, I mean, like who someone's writing a letter mailing it, but basically emails and tweets or whatnot. That's like, oh my God, I was always so embarrassed that I had this relationship with my sibling. And until you started to talk about it, it's just very freeing because part of it is say goodbye, fuck off. Like yeah. just yeah. because we shared a roof for 10 years of my childhood and came down the same vagina walls does not mean I need to have you in my life destroying, you know, actively destroying, trying to destroy like my marriage and affecting my children who I don't want to be subjected to crazy
there
like
you
I
go.
Was.
That's health.
I, yeah.
You know, that's called health.
Yeah.
And it, but it still makes me feel guilty because of the Catholic guilt. Because
and,
I
and.
Do
no, it's
remember
a, it's a, now it's a social guilt, political correctness.
No,
guilt.
No, no, no. Yeah. It's,
also,
it's
and Catholic
it is
guilt.
Too. It is.
It's a combo.
It's blood is thicker than water. And oh my God, what do you mean you haven't talked to your sister in years? How could
I know.
That be? And all that kind of stuff. And you're like, oh my God, when I finally just. You know, and part of it was being married and marrying someone that didn't come from a crazy
you know
family where people
say?
Treat
you,
you like
know how
shit.
Much better my life is without her in
oh
it?
My, it was. It was. But
to be
in,
interestingly, you've had a number of crazy people in your life you've had to cut off.
Yeah.
I have. And I always wonder people if people are going to look at me and go, well, I think you're the one that made them crazy.
No,
which
no,
maybe I
no.
did.
No,
you're the one that fits with them.
Yeah, you tree fit.
You
they
fit
see you,
them.
You see them, oh. and they come together, and then there it is again. But I'm even thinking of. We talked about your husband's ex-wife once on a
it's
podcast.
It's not his ex-wife.
Or whatever, baby mama, whatever.
It was, yes.
Baby mama.
Yeah.
Oh, I never thought I'd hear that out of Dr. Drew's.
Well, now,
I hear that in prison a lot.
You know, it's that's was really...
But that was another one, right?
That was another one. My yeah. husband had a baby with a woman that they really didn't have a relationship.
Yeah.
And but he literally impregnated her like the weekend before meeting me. So their relationship ended. We started dating. And then 9-10 months into dating.
He says it's the weekend before. I'm just saying.
Well, it
nothing,
was.
Nothing, nothing.
I did the math.
Say something.
Don't you think I did the math?
Oh, I think
don't you
did.
Think I did the math?
I know you, Heather. I'm sure
you know
you
what
did.
I literally, which is really interesting, is I remember he's like, do you want to go out Wednesday or Friday? And I had been reading the rules. And you're supposed to want a weekend date. So I said, I'll do... Friday.
I think he went out
I think he had the baby on Wednesday. I'm not kidding.
So much for the rule.
I really did the thing. But you
life
know what?
Intervenes on the rule.
What, but it is obviously she I have two sons with him, but she's my only daughter. And it's amazing because all these years now have passed. But the drama that involved like the first really like 5-6 years of her yeah. life was, you know, over $100,000 in legal fees. She attempted to have, you know, attempted to hire someone to have me killed.
Had your sister ever done anything like that?
Wow.
No.
Never
yes.
Say.
Yes. To beat. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go.
To beat up.
I figured.
Beat up,
I figured
beat
you get everything you came out your
she
sister.
Asked,
you
she asked my brother to find. Said she said to my brother, "I will pay
you to,
find
to
beat
up
my husband." And then
no wonder you went into comedy coming from a family like that.
I mean, it's and you can still find it. Like when I tell the story, because some of the stuff is funny. Like she would leave me, my sister would leave me the most like abusive voicemail messages. Like she really wasn't. OK, so here's the thing in a nutshell. So around when I got married, I've been married for 16 years. Prior to that, the few years prior to that, it was like falling apart. I was starting to get sick of her shit. I didn't like how abusive she was to my parents, how she'd threatened to take the little kids from events unless they apologized or gave her what she wanted. And then weeks would pass and they wouldn't talk to her and then they'd let her back in. And all of that stuff would kind of drive me crazy. So I was starting to get sick of this shit. And I remember one time she called me and she goes, you know, I went to my therapist, and now my therapist said, it's not dad who, you know, screwed me up. It's really mom. So I said, you know what, Katrina? I said, if you want to blame mom and dad for your problems until you're 80, be my guest. But like, I'm sick of it. Like, none of our lives was perfect. Like, move the hell on. Like, my God. And so I go in the shower. I get out of the shower, and my husband's like, "What the hell?" I go, "What?" She was driving when she called me. She drove right into my driveway. Our door wasn't locked. She walked right into the door looking for me to yell at me. And my husband's like in his underwear, like doing shit on a Tuesday night. And he's like at the point is absolutely
this,
no boundaries.
This is the famous fight, though.
No, this isn't the famous one. Oh, no. There's several. So that led on to lead to my son's first birthday party, which involved her wanting this Pooh Bear crate back that she had lent me. Losing her mind. The police came. I eventually got a restraining order.
Oh, many times.
I've gotten three. So the first restraining order was in 2003.
This doesn't sound familiar to you?
Yeah, it sounds like my family. That's why I don't see him anymore.
Second restraining order was like 2006, because that only lasted for 3 years. And then I kind of like let her back in. And then there was a huge thing that happened.
I believe that's you're trying to be a good person. You're trying to be a good person.
I missed her kids. I was sad. I was sad, you know, to not have that. But once I would get her out of my life for, you know, years at a time, I'm like, oh my God, the productivity, the amount that someone like that sucks out of your life, just the times that you're just relaying the story to a friend, just all the time that it takes.
But the excitement of being around a borderline.
Millions it really takes
Americans,
up so much time out of your
of
life.
Americans are doing that every day.
And then what are we going to do? And do. And, you know, and so then... So then there was a huge block of time, like almost the whole time I was on Chelsea Lately, which was for 7 years, I really had no contact with her at all. Like, I think she called me once and she was kind of drunk and my husband wasn't home and I happened to answer the phone and we had like one conversation and like that was it. Really, really stayed clear. But then there were times where my other sister, the attorney, was like, "Do you think, you know, we can help her with getting her house sold and this and that?" And I was like, "Oh, could we?" And my dad was like, "No." Like, he was like, "Don't, you know, it's going to turn into a disaster." There were all these things that happened.
So
and
the
then,
dad has had a good boundary with her all
no,
the time?
No, he did get one restraining order because she said that he threw a brick at her.
Is that how you determine good boundaries in your family? If there's a restraining order?
I think he did...
It's a desperate attempt to establish boundaries.
He did get one after the 2006 incident. But he came to my house. She's been removed from my property 3 times during my marriage.
He was trying to set a boundary between the two of them.
2003, 2006.
Not between him and
the last time was 2014.
She could have moved to New York.
His kids are here. Kids are
and
alive
nobody
here.
Leaves the valley. It's like, fuck.
Alive.
So, anyway.
Did you go to, what is it called, neighborhood school?
No, we went to Catholic school.
Okay. Oh, you're going to torture your own children with
it. No, she.
I go to Catholic school. What do you mean?
Where'd your kids go?
Kids go to the same Catholic school I went to.
Oh, my God. Well,
I don't blame the Catholic school. The Catholic school has been great. The community's been great.
Well, then what is Catholic guilt?
Catholic guilt is just... To explain it, it's amazing because that's been a huge outpouring of the listeners of so many people that agree. It's that feeling of like, I feel, you know, I should always be a good person. I should be here for
well,
this person, never
thing.
Turning your back.
Why is that bad? Yeah. That's a good thing.
Because when someone fucks you over really bad, you should love yourself more. So, like, and you should say no. Right.
So it's a great, great, interesting question for you and I, Bob, was what's the difference between trying to be a good person and being codependent?
Well, you're going to see it as coming from the trauma, right? The family. It as social, also supported.
But
I
what's
know
the
that
difference?
I tell people I don't talk to my family, and they look at you like there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, that's
they
part
really
of it.
Do.
That's why people are embarrassed.
Why should I go there and feel like? And that's, I'm
when did
the
you cut off your family?
What?
When did you cut off your family?
When Elvis was born.
I didn't even know about this.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
That's usually when family gets together.
No. Kids, that's when they get drunk and tell me all us goddamn liberals are to blame for everything.
Wait,
and it was my last time.
Is this
time.
Your mom or your
the
sister
last
mom?
Time, my sister.
Bob is a mom and a sister mom.
Well, that's just
really?
just a Catholic thing.
Explain.
Guess Wait, where I was born. Guess where
guess.
I was born.
So your sister had you, but they pretended your mom
yeah,
did.
She was 15.
That's
but
his grandma.
Guess where
his
I was born. You'll love this. St. Anne's Home for Unwed Mothers.
I know St. Anne.
In Occidental in
you know
Silver
St.
Lake.
Anne was Mary's mother. Did you know that?
That's no, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So was Mary a virgin? I didn't.
My.
You know the real history.
Because Anne is my middle name, and I did the book report on Saint Anne in fourth grade. But I know Saint Anne's
born in quite a historian.
In your unwed Saint mother's Anne's.
Home. I was born in the unwed mother's home.
But so Bob is a sister mom, and I'm who? And you cut off the grandma?
No, her sisters. What I consider my sisters,
the aunts.
Yeah, the aunts. They're not my aunts. They're my sisters. I grew up with them as my sisters.
But they're your aunts.
Well, technically.
I'm just...
Right.
Factually.
But your technically. Because your grandmother raised
you. Was my
you.
Mother. Yes. Yes. Mother.
And so the aunts are the pain in the ass now.
The aunts...
The sisters.
The aunts' husbands, actually.
Oh, okay.
So what they all married their father, which is my dad, and just trauma.
Yeah,
trauma.
Yeah, okay.
And
yeah.
then anytime they have a few too many cocktails, I'm the goddamn liberal... who's ruined everything. And I just got... When it was just me, it was fine. Like, I got sober. Okay, I deserve it or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll take it. I was mm-hmm. doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
When it was around my son, when he was like 9 months old, I was like, we will never enter your home ever again.
That's what happened with me because I took all the shit for years. I would get these calls of her screaming at me. And the thing is that she would say is kind of fun. Like there's like, you with your skinny chicken legs, your flat ass, you're not fucking funny. Like she just like leave these like, I swear to God.
Your sister would go personal?
Oh, totally. You with your cabbage patch face and your bucky mouth. And
she wouldn't go finances, fame, no, politics?
She would say, well, no, what would Heather, happen?
Heather, the years I've known you, you've mentioned the chicken leg thing about 40 times.
It's what she says.
That one really got through evidently.
And the flat ass. Because she has like a much curvier.
There's things they can do
she
about
has like
that
a
now.
Curvy athletic body. And like I wasn't, you know, athletic. So it's just like she just tries to get at whatever. Like I was the last one picked on the team. So it's like when someone knows every single insecurity since you were an infant, they know what to say.
Yeah, to abuse.
So they know what to say. And then it was like, and then we, you know, we bought the house next door to my parents.
What?
I know.
No, but none of those losers were living there at the time.
I know. For
the record, get a picture of Heather's legs. They're quite
again.
Nice. Let's get the legs.
But
and your parents still lived in the house next door?
What happened was
so you're going to see your sister?
No. This is what happened in 2005. My parents just lived there alone. They'd been living there alone for many years. We lived like 5 minutes away, and they lived in a nicer part of the neighborhood, and I always said the only way we're going to get in this neighborhood is if there's a house that talk about working the secret. But I said if there's a house and it's like an older guy selling it and it's the smallest house, but so we can get it at a good price, and if they ask us to list it, because I was a realtor. And sure enough, an old widower was like, "Would you like to sell my house?" So I was like, "Oh my God, that's the only way. It won't be multiple offers. I can, you know, offer the money." And my husband liked it. He wasn't freaked out. My parents were like the opposite of Everyone Loves Raymond. They would never stop by without being invited. You know, they would ask me 2 days in advance.
No, I'm not thinking about them. They seem cool.
Right.
I liked that the dad has boundaries with the daughter. But what was strange for me is you want to see all your siblings, the prodigal son.
I don't want to see them.
They're all got to go visit your parents.
That they really weren't, though. They really weren't.
Well, that's even sadder.
They weren't around that much. And it just it was,
I don't
at
think
that
that's,
time
it's not that fr- that's just one of them things but
it just wasn't it
let's,
wasn't
let's go back
it, but
to
then, yes.
codependency
yes.
versus being a nice person
yes that's
why do people get very confused about that because
there's
Heather's,
a whole generation of parents totally confused about
well
it.
Heather was trying to be mm-hmm. a nice person ended up getting codependent on this person with a personality issue
but then I really did pull back so much. And then when my dad died...
But then you
died,
felt like not a good person.
Right. And then when my dad died and she was just like, I want to get past this. And when my dad died, it was like, not a happy funeral, but like it was a long battle. He died at 88. So it was like the kind of funeral he should have. Like everybody's okay. He's been sick a long time. And it was after that that I did allow her to come to my house because we were having the, you know, I call it the after party, I guess the wake. But, you know, after the funeral... You know, and Peter was sort of like, my husband was kind of, but then I was like, well, what am I going to do? Not have them. This is what my mom wants. She doesn't want it at the church. She wants it at my house. And then that was sort of like a trigger of like, we're good now. We're going to be friends again. And then she kept wanting to do stuff with me and everything. Every time I'd like turn her down or not invite her to the girls' weekend in Vegas where I'm performing or whatever, it was feeding on her feeding. And then this one thing, then she blew it. And all like the last 6 months of her being nice, it was all fake. All the horribleness came out.
Now you're black and white thinking. I don't know that it was.
Well, borderlines the truth comes
want
out.
Things, borderlines want things to work out too. They don't know how.
They flip. They mean it when they're flipped.
That's what I'm saying.
But
yeah.
They flip the other way, and they're flipping and flopping. They can't stay whole.
Right.
And to you, it seems like one's honest and one's dishonest. No, it's just two sides
they're not
of the
that
same
smart
coin.
Is what
they're
I
not.
Was
they're thinking. Not glued together. They flip back and forth. And so you're either getting the good mom or the bad mom. That's the way they theorize about this stuff.
Right.
Okay, we have to take a little break. Be right back after this. We're welcoming our new sponsor to the show. They are called Bergamet Mega Plus, and this is actually a supplement, and it's a supplement I can get behind. Within a couple of months, I'll be reporting on some of the benefits of this thing. What it is, it's derived from some of the extracts of the bergamot citrus fruit. It's endemic to the Calabria region of Italy. And bergamot is rich in what's called polyphenols, and polyphenols are known to reduce the risk of heart disease. The Italian government actually funded a bunch of research on this. Now, Bergamet Mega Plus is a natural, what you would call statin, or in scientific terms, HMG-CoA reductase inhibitor. Much like the medication that we take, but milder, and again, it's a natural source. It has properties that also may lower triglyceride, raise HDL, even more so than a statin. So if you have high cholesterol or lipid issues and you can't tolerate statins, this is something you might really consider. Also, for others, in a nutshell, Bergamet Mega Plus can address conditions faced by millions of Americans worldwide, namely increased abdominal fat, high cholesterol, high blood sugar, high triglycerides, and high blood pressure. Taken together, that is called the metabolic syndrome. And usually physicians will prescribe pharmaceutical agents, weight loss, that kind of thing. And in this case, Bergamet Mega Plus may offer benefits above and beyond the usual recommendations. Be sure to talk to your doctor. Cardiologists, physicians all over the world have been recommending this product, Bergamet Mega Plus. Its effectiveness has been documented in many scientific peer-reviewed publications. And as I said, as a result, it's something that I can get behind. I'm excited about it. I'm starting to recommend it to patients. So to learn more, visit bergamet.com. That is BERGAMET.com. Or click on the Bergamet banner on our website.
So we're back with more craziness.
He called you crazy, Heather. I don't think of you as crazy. But
no,
craziness.
But the dysfunctional family.
I do think it's very freeing. The fact that I told the whole story on the podcast.
Yeah, by the way, go starting with 35.
Yes.
If you want to hear the whole 16-part series, I know the 16-part saga, and she is giving you tiny, itsy-bitsy glimpses here on this podcast, because it is breathtaking when you go moment by moment. And it's for you, it's like reliving it. It's the trauma, I know. It is.
I mean, it was when I would tape on Mondays, I would sort of get anxiety before I would go tape. And I would really literally walk in with my producer. I'm like, time for our 20-minute therapy session. And then I would, and then when it would come out on Thursday, 12 a.m. or whatever, morning of Thursday. And sometimes I'd like get anxious, like, oh my God, And I kept waiting for people to write me and be like, God, you're such a bitch. Why would you tell this story about your sister? You're horrible. And not one person. And that's what's freeing, because I always felt like, am I a bad person that I'm sharing the story? Am I a bad person that I, didn't go, well, she's sick in the head, Heather. You should accept that she is, she's mentally ill, right? And I'm like, so I'm just supposed to accept the abuse?
Listen, though, I don't know
like,
that she's...
That's what I feel society
has
been like.
She's more sick in the soul, sick in the thinking. Personality disorder isn't in the brain. It's in the spirit. Well, it's in the spirit.
Right. It's their whole body. Yeah, everything.
And so there's a lot of it going around, mild. You sound like it's pretty heavy and severe.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of it in our society
at a moderate level. Wait.
It gets worse with age. And
Gets better around 50. Gets better around 50 usually.
Well, but don't, she's
usually.
50
don't you
too.
Think there's a
lot of
them
don't
around?
Live to 50 too. A lot of them also don't live that long. Go ahead. What?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a concern that this is an extreme borderline that goes on for decades with police involvement.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the people who are identifying with you, the borderlines in their lives might be more slight or moderate, and now they're going to cut those people off. And there's just ways to have better boundaries with people.
It's sad, but there's no winning.
There is no boundaries. That's the thing.
Yes. Like, that's the problem of our society.
I was like, God, let's have, meals a year would have been nice.
Let me explain
something
to you.
There's no way to do that.
That borderlines often and typically do, which is they use a strategy called projective identification, which is, for whatever reason about their attachments and their biology, they feel as though their feelings and emotions exist outside their body in the world. And the way they regulate their emotions is by pushing them out of their body into you. If you, when you feel crazy around a borderline, mm-hmm. that's their feeling that they're projecting into you. And then they start monkeying with it as a way of trying to regulate their own feelings. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Right.
The crazy feeling you get when just when the feeling you, I get, always get the same feeling when I walk around with a borderline. I want to run out the back door. I just get the feeling, I got to get out of here yeah. quick. And then when I get in with them.
Because you'll get sucked into their vortex. Yeah,
I get into it. I feel the sucking of into the tentacles.
Because they're telling the truth, a lot of it.
But they're just, they are
just
brilliant.
Mix it all around.
We have borderline. Remember what Sasha used to always say? She'd go like this when I'd come in the unit. You doing the My Favorite Martian antennas over the head. She said that they could sense when I came onto the campus, which was, by the way, 300 yards away from our unit.
Yeah.
That they're so sensitive to the world, the environment. They literally would start to act out. She could tell I'd arrived. Mm-hmm. And there's no way they could see it. No way. Impossible. Physically impossible. But she knew I was coming soon to the unit because of the way they behaved. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Do you remember us talking about this?
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
We were talking about it a lot.
I watched it.
Yeah. And that's hard to believe, I know, but that's how weirdly we affect each other.
We have a society, because mm-hmm. you guys used to get cuts and talk about shows, the current events, right?
Right.
Kardashians, and more importantly, all the housewife shows.
Yes.
75% of those people are borderlines.
Those are all Heather's friends. How dare you? But it's
true.
Interesting how she gravitates.
It's true.
She gravitates
it's
to them.
True.
No, I definitely think they... See, the reasons why the housewife shows are volatile and fight is that these people aren't real friends and they're cast because they're all similar personalities. They're all narcissists. They're all... I mean, there's a
certain
A-type.
I think they're more narcissistic. Yeah.
It really...
One of our former clients is on that Beverly Hills one, and that's who had the antenna that he's here. He's here.
Oh, yeah.
He's here.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't it interesting how you gravitate to them, though? You gravitate
I'm
to
I'm not
that
like
stuff.
Best friends. I like the shows, and I meet them.
Gravitate.
And right. But
I didn't say you're the best friend.
But some people that are comedians
that's
in the business
you're unhealthy.
Hate reality stars. They're pissed that they're stealing our jobs. They're angry about it. And I'm not like that.
You celebrate
I'm like,
it.
They. I'm totally entertained. I think, hey, make your money while you can make it. It's great. It's fine. Do I get a little jealous that you're, you know, never even did a play and you're the star of Us Weekly? Yeah, a little. But I'm not mad about it. Like,
no,
I find it funny and who cares? You know, right. Like, there's enough in the world for everybody. But, you know, it's interesting, but it's dangerous, too. It's like you go on the show and you better be like, okay, I'm ready to get divorced. I'm ready for, you know, my life to be exposed. I'm ready to be edited in a way that makes me look really bad. Or now what's happening is people are going on the show and they've been studying it for a decade and they go on and they know they have to freak the fuck out over someone sitting in their chair.
Have you heard the Kevin Hart joke about basketball wives?
No.
He says, basketball wives, it should be called the ex-wives of ex-basketball players.
No.
Ain't nobody in the NBA
Nobody's married, no.
But then what happens is, so they edit it down to make them each of those women look like shit. Then
yeah.
they show it to them. Then they show the other woman saying things they didn't really say.
Right.
Making it look like they said, and then they turn them all loose on each other again.
Yeah.
And so week in and week out, they get
did
to
Did you know the guy
up.
That killed himself, the husband?
I did not know him, but I met Taylor many times, and yeah. I read Taylor's book. Taylor Armstrong is his wife.
Yeah.
That was a crazy thing.
But I mean, did the reality show help with it? Yeah, I would think, because it would make whatever his issues were financially seem that much larger, that much more well known.
Oh, why he killed himself? He killed himself. Reality TV show killed him.
Why?
That's
it cornered him. They were going to come with he hit her and all this kind of stuff. And he was already bankrupt.
Yeah.
And I talked to him about a week before he did that.
Oh, really? Yeah. And what did he say?
He was pretty down. He was not really looking forward to the airing of that show.
Hmm. But the show had already aired.
No, I guess there was a court date coming.
Oh, because the season had already aired.
Yeah.
And then I think that they were separated.
It was
or
sad.
She did one or two seasons.
It was sad.
Yeah. It's really sad. I mean, it's horrible, and, you know, I think that's, you know, the thing where people, you know.
Where it went too far. We felt like our show went too far. In the last two seasons, the producers and the storyline people were stirring stuff up,
oh.
and he would lose his mind.
Oh.
Drew would lose his mind and walk off the set. And that I think that those evocative TV shows, they're very harmful to the people on them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're going to have to live with this forever. Their kids are going to have to live with it. It's going to be on YouTube forever.
Right.
It's a shame. That's how I feel about it. Do you feel about it?
I'm a little more in Heather's camp. Like I mean, I'm sure people had to deal with other sorts of things as society evolved that had similarly kind of problematic
impacts. If you care about your children.
I mean, just look at all the movie stars
children,
and all the crappy
do you
lives
open
they had.
Them up to that?
No.
But at the same time, if you're in a position and, you know, some of these kids end up having businesses and opportunities that they wouldn't have had the show not happen, and they're fine. Like, if you just look at, like, Caroline Manzo.
Oh, you wait. Just wait. Well, I'm just saying, like, 10 or 15 years, you tell me that they're all going to turn out fine. I can already see... You can already see it. Come on. You think these people are going to turn out fine?
Well, I don't know that you're destroying your child's future by being on a reality star. I don't think you're
acting like a fool.
But
every
there could
week
be anything. But here's the thing: what about the parent that is so into their kid's gymnastic career, and then the kid's finally like, "Get the hell away from you! I hate
healthy.
You."
Then
did they do the wrong thing? What about the? Should nobody be a child actor? How are we going to have any movies? Like Fred Savage turned
we're not
out
gonna
fine.
Have, they're all going to be animated. They're
you
all going to
mean?
Be animated
like,
anyway.
I mean, what are you saying? So nobody can. You know, what if you made your kid wake up and work on the farm, they're going to be destroyed because they
Give
didn't have
the
a childhood?
Give the research about the reality star's narcissism scope.
Well,
I'm sure there is because
there's a certain type of person
that would want to do that.
That's what our research shows.
The last
they're
thing
already
that
in trouble.
A narcissist should be given is more attention.
Yeah. So Susan,
but it exists, so what are you going to do?
So Heather, you've been helping Susan.
Be
was
critical
one of, the,
of
Susan,
it.
go ahead.
Let me answer that. Be critical of it and say that's bullshit and nobody should watch that. Instead of say, oh, it's funny, it's entertaining.
I'm sorry.
It's not
that
funny,
is what I love.
You're attacking.
Love it. Yeah. Like, but, I look for Wednesday night. It's Real House. What about, well, then,
she
okay,
pours
let's,
a glass
you know,
of wine.
Let's say that
Lily
boxing
Tomlin?
Is terrible.
Like
let's
Tomlin?
Say that everything else
do
is terrible.
You watch Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda's show?
Yeah.
We have not seen it.
Pretty amazing.
It's awesome. I'm sure it is amazing. I like scripted shows too. I like a lot of things. This is one
but her point
thing
is well taken,
that
which is
I like.
There's lots of
because
things that are not good for the participants.
These women are like around my age.
MMA,
and I
not
see
good.
The fights and the arguments, and they're fun. And my girlfriends and I literally talk about them like guys would talk about sports people. The guys get together and they go, oh, this coach got traded here, and this person's going here, and we're doing our fantasy football. You have whole groups like that. Well, that's what women do. We like it. This is the shit we talk about. You'll never understand because you have a penis. You will never get it.
It's the Y chromosome. You'll never in this case,
maybe that's why I don't get it.
In this case.
By the way, the Penguins game starts in 11 minutes. So
exactly.
Can we wrap up?
Don't give a shit.
Wait, Susan just gave a hint. We
and
have something
I
to
never
announce.
Will.
Susan is transgender. Susan's transgender. I had to announce this. Right. No, but she's been asked to be on a reality thing that Heather's been helping her sort of navigate through. And all these issues have been coming up.
Yeah,
you know,
they're
and,
big
and
issues.
What I thought was interesting, though, our son.
I don't
son,
think I'm narcissistic enough.
Our son reacted violently, like, you are not doing it.
He said, I'll give you my left nut if you don't do it.
Those were his words.
I said, don't say that, okay? I don't want to even hear about you losing a nut. But, yeah, I was invited to do one, and I'm deciding, and this will probably air long after I've decided, but I do have misgivings about it because I like my marriage. I like my life the way it is. And I would really enjoy doing it with the other two people. And it would be really cool to get to travel and be, you know, a star or whatever. But I think that the dirt that's going to come out is not worth really the whatever little bit of money
that
I might make.
The other thing is, if you're a people pleaser, you want to please the producers. Mm-hmm.
Well,
I've been at taping. I've been, you know, a guest during a reality show taping, and I'm studying and I'm trying to figure it out. And I see the producer talking to someone who's doing an on-the-fly interview, and they're like, "But aren't you upset? I mean, this was your party, and they're late. Like, don't you think that's rude? Don't you think that was rude how she spoke to you last week?" And then on the person, yeah. I'm a little annoyed. You also know, like, oh God, this, and then they call them to, and they're like, I just want you to know, girls, that this is about the boringest season.
Yes,
you're all going to be fired.
Yes, if you want to have a new season,
yes,
you're going to have to
they
amp
do
this
right.
up.
All of
and
that.
The two other women that I'm doing with, I'm really close friends with, mm-hmm. and they already push my buttons a lot anyways, but I never let them know. Like I don't know, one of them has a fantasy that nothing bad's going to happen and we're going to be normal people followed around. It'll be,
never air.
It'll never make it then. I don't know if they're really pitching her what's going to actually happen. So,
right.
And it concerns me because I'm kind of a control freak and I also have to be careful of Drew's brand and I don't really care. I like being behind the scenes and I like producing stuff on my own and not having to worry about somebody, finding out some deep dark secret of my past or whatever that I told somebody 20 years ago.
What's great is I don't have any secrets now.
Yeah.
Like I literally don't have one. There is not one thing that someone could say about me that I have not put in my stand-up, put in my books, put on my podcast. And that's really freeing because I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I'm there to find out. But if you have a secret,
but other than codependency, you seem solid and motivated and semi-healthy.
I don't think I am that codependent anymore. Can I ask you, do you think this is a codependent thing? Because I don't even know if I've ever understood codependency.
That's
and
what,
I'm
going to
ask you a question.
Go ahead.
As a stand-up, I've gotten better at this, okay? But I one day realized I was a little bit codependent with my audience in that...
If there was one person not laughing,
I remember I was doing shows with these other girls, and this one girl had a really funny bit about herpes, okay, where she was kind of like, hey, you sick fuck with your herpes or whatever, like joking about that people have herpes. And if I had a friend, and I had a couple that had herpes, I did not want them to come to that show because I thought their feelings would hurt.
That is codependent.
And I'm like, that is like the opposite of like a stand-up.
Yeah.
And so I finally...
That's very
And I just did this movie about a documentary called Can We Take a Joke? And I'm not like that anymore. That's when I was in my 20s. I'm not like that anymore. Now I'm really like, hey, you know what? You gotta know who I am and there's no way I can offend you. If you watch the whole hour, you won't be offended. You know, take one sentence out possibly. But that is sort of, I don't think I'm codependent. I think I've broken that to an extent.
All right, speaking of breaking.
But then also, like, isn't that caring about someone's feelings,
yes,
too, which is
what
you're saying.
It's fueled, they dovetail together. Speaking of break, take a quick break, be right back.
Yeah.
I'm getting involved with the advisory board on an organization called HEAL, H-E-A-L, and they have an app. It's called HEAL app, H-E-A-L. And these guys promise a physician at your home within 2 hours, and it is $99 all in, and most insurances cover it. These physicians are carefully selected by our team. They are all board certified, so we can vouch for them. And everyone we know that has used this product is just beside themselves happy. Do not go to an ER. Do not go to an urgent care. If you're in a city covered by HEAL, click HEAL, $99. Someone will be there. And people don't understand that what you really want is just a physician to use their judgment to tell you what this is. Is it serious? Is it not? The treatments are often simple. There is just simply today, unless there's a real emergency, no reason to go to the ER. And I would suggest even going to an urgent care when you're feeling bad, need help. I mean, why do that? And by the way, that's much more expensive. Sounds too good to be true. It is not. This is an opportunity. Check out the HEAL app.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation in the This Life with Dr. Drew and Bob Forrest podcast or interaction with drdrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or medical advice or direction per se. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Although Dr. Drew is a licensed physician with specialty board certifications by the American Board of Internal Medicine and the American Board of Addiction Medicine, he is not functioning as a physician in this environment. The same applies to any professionals who may appear on the sites or podcasts.
Welcome back to This Like Podcast. Heather McDonald is our special guest. Juicy Scoop. Check all episodes out of Podcast One.
We never got to the original thing is, do you have gossip on the show?
What's the biggest one
that you've exposed?
I mean, I'm not an investigative reporter, so it's not that. It's like I read the magazine.
It's scoops.
And I go, these are some juicy scoops that are out in Hollywood. And sometimes I'll say if I think it's true. Sometimes I'll try to analyze what happened, like in a funny way. Like I just start acting out the fight that happened between Jen and Ben Affleck or who I think Jen should date, Jen Gardner. Like,
who she should date.
She should date a green architect.
Brad Pitt.
A green architect.
An architect that
is that something she's into?
I don't know. I just thought a few years younger, like 40.
What about Brad Pitt? And then they could have
no,
all
no,
the
she
kids
needs
going
to be,
all the way
she
around.
She wants her to have somebody healthy.
I want her to have somebody normal, but has it like has a cool side of it.
Has Brad Pitt moved out?
Well, now that you talk about Brad Pitt, I'm talking about Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner.
But also, I was at the Vons this morning.
Every day they say that they're breaking up.
Oh, they're not.
And I don't know if they are.
Because I root for them with all those kids.
Yeah, that's going to be an explosion when that breaks up.
You, oh my God!
The rumor
I said
with that.
Okay,
what is the rumor? I want the juicy
rumor
scoop.
Is he is doing a movie with this other woman right now, and it's like a period piece. And I don't know the other woman.
Isn't that always the way?
And there's supposedly mad chemistry between them.
Do you know who it
and
is?
She, I forgot her. I'd have to.
He
look
should
it up.
Ignore but that she, mad chemistry because you know who had that mad chemistry a couple
Angelina,
years ago.
Him and Angelina,
Johnny Depp and the Heather, and
Amber
the,
Heard.
Amber.
Wait. So
ignore that.
Yeah, that's
Brad.
Great.
Ignore. Tell Brad to ignore.
That's craziness.
That.
But okay, so wait.
That's craziness on craziness.
So the girl, his co-star,
yeah,
she was married and did a movie with her current husband. So she cheated on her husband, married her co-star. Brad cheated on Jennifer Aniston and married the co-star Angelina. So they both have fallen in love with co-stars in the past.
So we call that terrible boundaries and love addicted. And manipulative and all kinds of
But also,
love is
Angelina,
an insult to the word love.
Okay,
but Angelina and Brad have been together a long time. They do
I'm
have six
for them.
Kids together.
Yeah, they're the one Hollywood couple.
When that goes down, oh, Heather.
Who are you rooting to get divorced?
Well, it doesn't sound like you're rooting for them.
I 10 years ago.
Because I get sad when I pick
when
up.
When they did that Mr. Yeah. Mrs. Washington, that thing
Smith,
about, the thing
that
where they blew
at.
Up. Then they, right, they blew up and that I said, that's how it's going to end. Like that.
They're going to kill each other?
Just that kind of aggression. It's gonna. That's what's going to happen.
Well, that kind of passion others would say. So do you have favorite Hollywood couples? Because Brad and Angelina are my favorites.
Susan and Drew.
Well, there you go.
answer.
They have real passion.
I do feel like there's certain people like...
That you're rooting for to have success
I'm
in
rooting,
life.
I mean...
Because you're a good Catholic girl.
Kevin Bacon...
Oh, they'll
Sedgwick.
Never get They've, divorced.
Hopefully,
never get
you know, especially after they lost all the money to Madoff, that's the kind of stuff where you'd like fucking
no,
blame each other.
People.
And
they don't live
fine.
In Hollywood.
Maybe they're they couldn't
solid.
Afford to
you
get
know,
divorced
you
after that.
You want
to
know a strange connection to Kevin Bacon? I have my ex-wife, they're from Virginia, right? So they're in the restaurant. My ex-wife, I don't want to say the name. But anyways, their daughter is named because they heard my ex-wife's name. And they went, oh my God.
You need to have him on your podcast because he's got a story to
I'm
tell.
Sure.
Yeah. No, but it'll take 85 episodes.
Don't you think Hollywood couples survive better if they don't live in Hollywood? Even if they live in Santa Barbara.
I just think, you know what?
This is
my philosophy on why it's hard. Because you have two people, if they're both in the business, and you have and they're such big stars and they have everybody around them saying how fabulous they are, that they can do no wrong. And then you're with your spouse that's like, you know what? Why the fuck did you leave this on or something? And you're like, why are you criticizing? Like, I just think it's,
yes,
you
you're
can't,
right.
you're really not, there's hard. No point of putting, well, you're like, why should I put up with this guy being a dick to me when I'm so beloved? I just won the Oscar. Everybody wants to screw me. And he's like not, you know, and not even being nice. And I think he feels the same way. And I think that's what makes it really hard. I think
it, well,
the ego,
also the,
two huge
the,
egos.
And they have bad boundaries. They're not the healthiest people, actors and actresses. And then they are,
are big stars. You
and
know?
Then they're in these isolated environments with these
yes.
intense experiences.
I think
experiences
just Hollywood is bad.
Stuff.
Because if you look historically, movie stars, I live in part-time in Laguna Beach. Betty Davis moved down there in the late 40s and lived there till she died, actually. And I love Betty Davis. She just seems like a solid, healthy person. When you look at Joan Crawford, didn't leave Hollywood.
Jane Mansfield.
Joan Crawford and Betty Davis were always synonymous. Had similar lives, very traumatic upbringings.
Oh my God, whatever happened to Baby Jane? Best
movie
ever.
Oh my God.
You know who reminds me of them? Kyle and Kim Richards.
Ooh.
That's the movie.
Oh, the remake. I feel terrible.
Well, it's hard
Kim.
To stay alive.
I do feel bad for her. She's
in
really
a good
struggled.
Marriage. In Hollywood,
you probably know her more. I just see.
I don't know her,
but
I
know Kyle.
See, the thing is, in that scenario, I really empathize with Kyle because I'm the Kyle. I'm the Kyle in that relationship. If they Kyle and Kim are like my sister and I, except with money and fame and
except
better
I feel
clothes.
Like Kim it does not. She drives Kyle crazy and all, but doesn't really. The brunt of it falls on herself. Kim really hurts
herself.
She's
nothing. She's not as nearly. She's not as abusive.
She doesn't have the
but
borderline.
But I feel like Kyle has the
codependency.
Guilt.
Yeah,
she has her husband involved, and it's like, you have a husband, and I don't have a husband. They try to include her, and then when they blamed her about the you stole my house, that I really, really sympathized with Kyle and her husband, because I'm like, you're this screwed up person who had no money. They were trying to help you. You agreed to it. Then someone got in your ear after and tried to turn you against them. You know they're good people.
No, like, good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah, exactly. And that's that I thought. And that's what makes that show. Sorry, I'm sure you don't know what we're talking about. But that's what makes that show really good, is because they're real sisters.
But let's go back.
And the history
the,
goes so long.
Go back to codependency
Kim
versus
Richards
doing good.
Is on this show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The actress girl?
Yes. Escaped to Witch Mountain. They got her and her younger sister, and they were like kid actresses, but then they became wives and mothers quite young, you know, and then weren't in TV for a long time. And then they found them both and put them on The Housewives, and it was amazing. And you didn't know.
Desperate alcoholic.
But you didn't know Kim was an alcoholic until like the end of the last episode of the first season, and then it exploded.
It's really sad. I mean, I really feel, she struggles.
I'm just rooting for Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin to get the re-upped for another season.
I'm with you. We watched the Susan's favorite show.
They will. And then they'll probably both get Emmys.
Right. But again, treating people nice versus codependency. Codependency is more about...
treat yourself nice and you'll treat everyone else.
It's not treating yourself. It's thinking of other people first and sometimes only, or experiencing yourself through other people. Being a good person is sort of a general concept.
I think my sister, the attorney, was way more codependent to Katrina, because she never wavered all those years.
Well, I would argue...
just now... did she go? She's been in therapy, and just now is she
cutting
finally
along,
getting it? And I would say to her, I'm like, you're missing your kid's childhood.
I would
because
argue
you're so sucked into
caretaking
this.
Her.
Yeah,
you're right from the caretaking standpoint, but from the standpoint of the projective identification, you clearly were the object of all that. You had to take on. It's like she got in your skin.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we were more similar personalities. Like,
well,
she this
closer,
one there's
closer
a, there's
siblings
a,
too.
Well, there's a friend of hers that's now my friend, like her friend from high school, and our boys are friends, and she said, you know, I was watching your Facebook lives, another thing I do, Heather McDonald comedy, I just do these Facebook lives and I'm like talking, and she goes, and there's mannerisms of yours that reminds me of a lot of Katrina. And I'm like, Katrina was funny. We came from a funny family. We were all funny.
Katrina is,
I was the only one that did anything
hang on
with
a second,
it. But
imagine,
you know?
Katrina's funny, engaging, attractive, you know, yeah, all the borderline stuff, all the things that really make her that much
where's,
more dangerous.
Like, what'd she end up like doing for a living? What'd she end up
doing
for a living?
She got married and had a baby young. Like, by 23, she was a mom. Then she became a stage mom. She put her kids in it.
Perfect,
and in the
right?
acting. Loved Bob. It. They did pretty well. Not where they weren't in school, but they did enough that they made money. And they were here they are in the Macy's ad, and it's all posted up. The little boy was in pageants before Jean-Benet. And she had trophies all throughout her house.
But that's the,
but,
that's
but she
the
liked
extension.
That because he was like the only boy. There was only like one or two boys, so he'd always win. And then all the moms of the girls liked her because she was in competition. So she would go all around Southern California, Disneyland Hotel, blah, blah, blah. And we just thought it was like funny. Then she got them into acting.
That's a reality show.
And then sure enough,
maybe you could help her out.
Then she just fell out of
in
it.
Tierras, that show in Tierras.
And
right.
But her sister particularly would be a very
And then she got to be the mom. Like, she got the attention. She was happy, you know, for her children. It kept her busy. Then when that kind of started to die down is, I think, you know, then it got worse. Because how else is she, like, getting attention? And
yeah, humans don't like to look at other humans that are happy, joyous, and free. They like to look at other humans that are struggling and having drama, not well. That's what attracts our eyes. That's the housewife thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then women, particularly, seem to like to process it. It's like it's gratifying in some, it's rewarding in some interesting way to relive it and think about it. And much the way guys trade baseball cards or relive.
Yeah, but there's,
you know,
no Schadenfreude in sports. There's a Schadenfreude in reality television where you're better than them. You would never act like that.
I think it's so different just in seeing relationships. Like, I remember one time my son was about like 8 at the time, and I'm like, hey, do you play with Jude at school? And he's like, not anymore. And I'm like, what happened? What do you mean? What happened? Did he say something mean to you? And he's like, he plays kickball and we play basketball. And I was like, oh, that's it? Yeah. Oh, that's right. You're a guy. Like, I just was like, oh, my God. And that's...
And they talk about poopoo a lot too.
Yes,
that's the other thing that makes me.
But you see it more and more of like how I see my sons just like, shit doesn't bother them well, as
can
long.
Can we leave it with an Elvis quote yesterday?
How old is your son?
5. He's just trying to shock me with the poop talk, right? Yeah. I'm just driving because we went out to Joshua Tree to go rock climbing. And he just goes, a man eats his own poop. Because he's trying to get a reaction out of me from the back seat. Yeah. And I just started cracking up.
I just figured out what my catheter was all about. He's still 5. He's constantly doing that to me.
He kept putting poo poo, caca, pee pee. You know, I wasn't reacting. Then he said that, and I just cracked up. And then he was laughing. It's one of the magic moments with a 5-year-old boy.
Oh, of course. Well, the boys love all that. It's like, that's why it's in every.
We got to communicate just in from the producers. Drew, can you read it, please?
I do, because we have to wrap up. I've got to get moving here.
You've got 4 minutes to leave.
Remind people to please click through the Amazon link at drdrew.com or at thislifepodcast.com. Supports the show. It doesn't cost you a thing, but it helps send a little something over here so we can keep this thing lights on here. The music on the way out is by Lance is a Genius. Again, at This Life Podcast.
Can I promote my stuff?
Is the Twitter handle. And drdrew.com is where you can see all the people that support this program and This Life Podcast as well. thislifepodcast.com where you can obviously please bookmark these podcasts. Tell a friend. We like it. And about Heather, too.
Yes. Go to heathermcdonald.net for all of my dates. I've got lots of dates this summer and in the fall. They're all up there. So make a note when I'm going to come to your city.
I realize something that's your worst nightmare. Do you know Greg? I forget his last name. What's his last name?
Greg Barrett.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you do
a podcast.
Yeah, I know, and I don't know his last name. All he said was one little thing. She's just not that into you.
Yeah.
He's just not that into you, right?
Right.
Yeah,
and it became his whole life for 5 years. What if Katrina becomes your whole life?
I'd love it.
Really would?
Well, yeah.
People are going to expect you to talk about it in your stand-up.
No, they don't. I don't talk about my stand-up, but I would like it to become a book. I'd like it to become a book, and I'd like it to become something positive.
But there has to be a happy ending to be a book, right?
No,
I don't think so.
No. Okay.
She could be a good person, and get Katrina a reality show of her own with the son in the Tolliges and Tierras thing.
He's a little old now.
Whatever.
I guarantee you by the end of the year, people are going to come and scream out her name. What about Katrina?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It hasn't happened yet, and it's been going on for a while. I say I'll talk to them after, but my stand-up is still...
I'm challenging them. Heather's stand-up is hysterical. We've seen it multiple times. It is so funny, and we were there at your screen. When you filmed your special.
Thank you. It's on Netflix. Still available. Yeah.
It's called Heather McDonald.
I don't mean to brag.
And this is what drove Katrina crazy, by the way.
She came.
She was there?
She said to Susan, oh my God, I love that Dr. Drew. Don't you want to fuck him? And you were like, I'm his wife. Yes.
What?
Yes. It's true. She's like, it's okay. God. I hear it all the time. And I'm like, well, it's Susan. Not appropriate.
And I'm so clueless. I've never heard you even talking about
it. You can have him.
That's nice.
If he's willing, I guess.
Yeah. That is a This Life moment right there.
Yeah. But
that's going to be our promo next.
I think you ought to go out and do a live podcast, like at Do the Hollywood Improv. Or
no, I want to do it. Then we can talk about all that
then
stuff.
Then you'll get a ton of your podcast fans.
And get people's stories and stuff, which is great.
I predict that Katrina is going to be a huge part of your life moving forward in 2017.
That's fine. We'll follow up. If I can be helpful to other people and let them know that they're not weird to have the story. It is funny. If you listen to it, it is funny. There is funniness to it.
So check out Juicy Scoop. Start with episode 35. It is funny. It is entertaining.
It's entertaining. It's life. It's juicy.
It is juicy.
Yes, of course there's sadness and tragedy to it.
Can you text her right now?
She's in no contact with her.
I have a restraining order.
We
got to
go. With that, I'm out of here. Bye. We'll see you next time on This Life. Girl, close your eyes. Let that rhythm get into you. Don't try to fight it. There ain't nothing that you can do. Relax your mind. Lay back and groove. So I took the night off, turned the lights off. Had you come over so I could see you and see you. DDL on a DL, had a female that was trying to come through. But I told her it was over, cause I had you coming over when I could've told her that I had the flu. Who knew last night? I swear I saw you, yeah, you right.
I should have called you, but the drinks got low and the lights got dim and the weed got blown and my eyes got thin. Swear I had a dream that I walked with an angel, but I was too blinded by the light of a halo. But when the light fade from the light rays and my eyes focus, I was looking at you. But enough about me, how was your week? Are you stressed? I got the recipe. Just undress, leave the rest to me. Yeah, I'm playing with your heart, but I'm playing for keeps. So let me take them clothes, and you just take a pose, and then just go 300, you know, just take it slow. Slow motion, the best motion, baby. Catch a wave like fresh oceans, lady. But I'm trying to eat, you gourmet. Tastes so sweet, zest sorbet. Six mirror, six touchdown, your way. Farms getting old, enough for the foreplay. So let's just take a dive, just breathe. You will survive, trust me, I done put a lot deep. Less steep, but I could bury more. Just scream, talk to me, Don Cheadle. Have you feeling, feel like I'm feeling a beetle? Feel so good, this can't be legal. If love is a drug, the dose ain't lethal.
Girl, close your eyes, let that rhythm get into you. Don't try to fight it, there ain't nothing that you can do. Relax your mind, lay back and groove.
Girl,
close your eyes, let that rhythm get in.